look into His wisdom and to see what it is that He would have us do in making some decisions about some topics this week that we're going to talk about that's going to take a great deal of wisdom. So I would encourage you again to open up your Bibles and follow along as we study God's Word. I want to begin this morning by talking about the call of wisdom. I believe the theme that we have for this week, dangers in our society, things that we face as Christians, wisdom is certainly something that must be at the forefront of us being able to make good decisions. Wisdom, our heart, reverence to God are going to be themes that we see throughout every one of our lessons this week. And certainly wisdom must be at the forefront of us making good decisions in regards to some of the things we're going to talk about. So I want to begin this morning by talking about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. It would be impossible for us to cover every scripture, everything that the book of Proverbs has to say about wisdom. As we think about this word wisdom, it's found 234 times in the Old King James Version of the Bible. And 52 of those times is found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a great deal to say about wisdom. And I want us, as we begin this morning, to just kind of introduce ourselves to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be making reference to it several times throughout this week as we talk about some of these different dangers that we face in society. Proverbs in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the writer there reveals to us what the purpose of this book is. Number one, it is to know wisdom and instruction. Number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Number four, to give subtlety to the simple. And number five, to give knowledge and discretion to the young man. In verse number five of Proverbs chapter one, Scripture says that a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. For this purpose, in Proverbs 1:6, to understand a proverb, to understand the interpretation, and to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Many times throughout the book, we see wisdom personified as a female, and she's referred to as she or her. And we also see this father-son relationship throughout the book of Proverbs. We see the father instructing the son, telling the son, you need to get wisdom. You need to allow wisdom to come into your heart. You need to bury it deep in your heart. And it's going to enable you to be able to make good decisions. And then he gives some scenarios where wisdom is absolutely essential, applying godly wisdom, if he's going to have a successful outcome. So let's begin by reading there, if you're in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's begin by reading verses 5 through 9 as we begin this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. There the father says to the son, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory she shall deliver to you. Do not forget her. Do not forsake her. Love her, exalt her, and embrace her. The father is telling the son, you get wisdom. And these descriptive terms here, do not forsake her, love her, exalt her, embrace her. The father is telling the son, you need to get this wisdom and you need to plant it firmly within your heart. You need to be very loyal to wisdom. You need to put wisdom up on a pedestal. And in the midst of this instruction, the father identifies wisdom as the principal thing. The principal thing, this word principal is the Hebrew word reshith. It's found several times throughout the Bible, but it's found in the very first verse of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, where their scripture says, in the beginning. And it means the first in place, in time, in order, or in rank. Here in Proverbs, the father is telling the son, you need to get wisdom. Now, when do you need to get wisdom? When is it that you need to get that? Well, the father is telling the son, you need to get it first. He's saying it is the chiefest of things that you need in your life. You need to get wisdom. And the benefits of doing so here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9, is preservation, protection, promotion, and honor. This is what wisdom is going to do for you. In Proverbs chapter 2, in verses 10 and 11, we have a similar admonition there. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. So again, the desired destination for wisdom is the heart. We need to have wisdom in our heart. We're going to talk a lot about the heart this week as we think about some of these things that we're going to talk about, because that's where it all begins. That's where those decisions are made, those good decisions, those bad decisions. So if we have wisdom in our heart, this godly wisdom that the Father is telling the Son, you need to get this. This needs to be the chiefest of things in your life. If we have that in our heart and that is influencing our decisions, then we're going to be able to make some good decisions in regards to any question we may have, any scenario that may come our way. Now, here in Proverbs chapter 2, the writer speaks of wisdom's ability to deliver one from the way of evil, and in verse number 12, to deliver one from sexual immorality. So wisdom has a benefit in those things. It's going to help us make those good decisions and not go down that bad path. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, wisdom there is talked about in regards to its value. Wisdom is placed alongside some of the things that we would regard as things that are very valuable. Gold, silver, riches, those types of things. And it's placed alongside those things. And the writer here identifies wisdom as having the overwhelming victory over these worldly carnal things. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, Proverbs 3, 16 through 19. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Happy are all who retain her. So when we see wisdom placed alongside the riches of this world, or whatever it is you may deem as important that's going to give you security, going to give you happiness, going to give you whatever it may be, when wisdom is placed alongside those things, wisdom is the overwhelming winner here. And the Father is informing the Son, this is what you need to get. This is where you need to have your priorities. This is what's really important. And the reason that's the case is because the riches of this world, those are things that can take us only to the grave. Now, they can solve a lot of problems that we have in this life from maybe a carnal, physical standpoint, a fleshly standpoint. Riches can do that. We'd be foolish to suggest that there's things money can't buy. We understand that. But it cannot take us any farther than the grave. But the wisdom that the writer here in Proverbs is talking about, the Father is telling the Son, you need to get this wisdom because this is something that has eternal implications. This is something that's going to help you get beyond the grave and have something past this life. So we notice there again in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, what is being said here. It says that very same thing, that length of days is in her right hand. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So this is something that's going to take us past this life. Now, as we think about the book of Proverbs, Proverbs has several different little practical, some of those verses are just one-verse things. It's just good practical advice. It's advice that's going to help us live a very successful life in this life. But if we just follow that, there's just some common sense things in Proverbs. However, that's not what the book of Proverbs is intended to do. Even though those things are important, the book of Proverbs has a much greater purpose, and that is to teach us how to apply godly wisdom so that we're able to one day call heaven our home, very simply. Wisdom offers us eternal life. The book of Proverbs teaches us that this world is not our home. And when we think about the book of Ecclesiastes, that teaches us as well, this world is not our home. And this is what this godly wisdom is teaching us. That what we have waiting on us far surpasses even the greatest things that this life has to offer. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, our scripture says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." The benefits of wisdom is clearly revealed throughout this great book. And just as the Father encourages the Son, wisdom is certainly something that we need to get. It's something that we need to exalt in our lives. It's something that we need to embrace in our lives.
And here she is the chiefest of things that we need. She is principal. She is the principal thing. However, in order for wisdom to mean anything to us, there's something that must be present in our life. And that must be the fear and reverence of God. Wisdom is not going to mean a whole lot to us if we don't have any awe, if we don't have any fear, if we don't have any reverence of God. It's not going to help us at all. It's not. You can talk to people sometimes about the death of Jesus. You can read the verses in the latter parts of the Gospels about Jesus dying upon the cross and the crucifixion and all that He suffered. And it means absolutely nothing to them. They have no response, no emotional response to that. It doesn't prompt them to live a righteous life. It doesn't change anything about the direction that they're going in their life. And the reason that's the case is because there is no fear of God. That is the issue that we have in our society with sin and the direction that we're going in today and have been going in for a very long time, is there is no fear, there is no reverence of God. Back in the very first chapter, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, there the writer, after talking about the purpose of the book and what it is to accomplish, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That word beginning there is that same word we noted a moment ago, that is the word principle, that is a Hebrew word reshith. So here it is again, he's saying the fear of the Lord is the chiefest of things in regards to the knowledge that you're going to get. It is in first place. It must be there if we're going to obtain this godly, this righteous knowledge, this righteous wisdom that we need to make good decisions. Now, the fear of the Lord, it is first in order. It's in first place. Now, turn over your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 9 in verses number 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 9, verses number 1 through 6. And here wisdom is spoken of as building her house. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. It speaks of the house that wisdom has built and the way that she furnished that house to provide for her guest. And wisdom completes a very nice home here, a very complete home, a furnished home. Notice these verses. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in thy way of understanding.'" So here she constructs this house with seven pillars. So we have this idea of completeness here. She has completed this house. She has furnished it with food and drink. She has made it in a way that it is nourishing, that it is providing nourishment for all those who would enter and sit at her table. And the result of doing that is understanding. We're going to have understanding. So this is very important. I would suggest to you that the fear of the Lord here is the cornerstone of the house that wisdom has built. The fear of the Lord, it is the cornerstone. It is bringing all of this together. In fact, just a few verses down here in verse number 10 of Proverbs 9, there Scripture again says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." There's that word again, the principal thing, the Hebrew word reshith. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Proverbs chapter 9 in verse number 10. So the fear of the Lord and wisdom are so closely intertwined that they cannot be separated. If we're going to have wisdom and we're going to do something with that wisdom, and it's going to change our lives, it's going to help us make good decisions with some of the topics we're going to talk about this week in regards to procrastination, in regards to social drinking, and all these different things that we're going to talk about this week. If wisdom is really going to make a difference in how we're going to decide whether or not we're going to do this, whether it's right or wrong, we must first have fear and reverence and be in awe of God and who He is. Because if we're not, all the instruction in the world, we can read verse after verse after verse proving that this is not what God wants from us. This is not a wise decision for us to make. But if we have no fear and reverence of God, that's not going to mean anything. We're going to be bored with what's being said by God's Word, and we're just not really not going to care. We're going to have this judge not, don't tell me what to do mentality. But we must have wisdom. We must have fear of God first if we're going to have that. Now, go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and let's begin there in verse 20 and read down to verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. Our scripture says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools, they hate knowledge. As we consider wisdom here in verses 20 and 21 and 22, she presents herself as something that's readily available. And this is very important because sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking we can't know, we can't really understand, we can't gain this wisdom. And if we do hear these words, we're just not intelligent enough to be able sometimes to be able to apply those things. And that's a deception of Satan. That's something that Satan wants us to believe, is that we can't know. But here, wisdom, she's portraying herself as something that's readily available. In other words, she's not hidden. She's not trying to hide herself. She's not putting herself under a rock. She's not kind of staying tucked away in her room. But she is readily available. She is easily heard here. Therefore, the responsibility falls upon you and I. Wisdom is available for us. The ERV translation of verse number 21 reads this way. Listen, wisdom is shouting in the streets. She is crying out in the marketplace. She is calling out where the noisy crowds gather. So wisdom is not attempting to hide herself. In a very similar idea of saying this, or same way of saying this, over Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. And the question is asked there, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? And this comes on the heels of chapter 7, where the father is warning the son about the shrewdness of the harlot, of the seductive woman, and what she is going to do. And then he asks this question here, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, does not wisdom cry out and does not understanding lift up her voice? In verses 2 through 4 of that text, it says, she takes her stand on top of the hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So wisdom is visible. Wisdom is accessible. She's easily heard. And the ability to make a wise decision is available. It's there. So the responsibility is on us. God hasn't given us something that we cannot understand. He hasn't given us a word. He hasn't given us instructions, commands that we cannot understand, that we cannot apply in our life. Wisdom is something that can be understood, and it's available to all men in all situations. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, there, verses 8 through 19, the father there is instructing the son to not consent to the enticement of sinners, and he presents a certain scenario there. And he reveals what the lure is going to be and what the consequences are going to be if that allurement is heeded to. And if and when that situation comes, that's there in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, in any situation we may have in our lives, if we have good counsel from someone and we have that ability and that wisdom to make a good decision, well, when that situation comes, and let's say we're told by our father, don't go. That's kind of the idea here. Don't go along the path of those wicked people. They're going to lead you down this wrong path. Well, then you can find yourself face to face with that path. You're walking down that path. What's going to be happening is wisdom is going to be crying out. It's going to be calling. It's going to be on that mountaintop hollering at you and yelling out at you saying, do not go down that path. That's what wisdom is going to do. Now, how are we going to respond to that when that is the case? And why is the father giving this instruction? Is he just trying to make his children's lives miserable? When we talk to people about the consequences of sin, are we just trying to put ourselves up on a pedestal and say we're holier than thou and that we're just trying to put you down and we don't want you? Is that really what we're doing? Well, if we are, then we're wrong for doing it for that reason. But if our reason is to say, okay, if you go down that path, here's what's going to happen. Here's the consequences. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to be drifting away from God. You're going to apostatize away from your walk with Jesus Christ. Then that's a good reason to do that. We need to be able to say those things and say, apply wisdom here. Well, that's what the Father is doing here in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. He says, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. He says, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Proverbs 1:16. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So the father is seeing something here, and he doesn't want the son to go down that path. He doesn't want him to make those bad decisions. So he's saying, here's what you need to do. Now, we must listen, though. We must listen to what is being said. And that's the problem we have sometimes, is we don't listen to that instruction that's being presented. And that's the dilemma that wisdom is having here. Wisdom is saying, I'm readily available. And I can't understand the negligence. Why aren't you listening? Because here's what's going to happen if you walk down this path of evil and wickedness. I'm in the marketplace. I'm near the city gates. I'm shouting out in the streets, and you're not listening. And she asks this question here, Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Verse 22, wisdom says that fools hate knowledge. And that short phrase is revealed to us why wisdom is being neglected and rejected when she's so readily available and easy to access. Notice again Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you connect those two verses, you see what the problem is here. Why is wisdom being rejected? Why is she being neglected? It's because, again, there is no fear of God. There is no reverence for who God is. The simpletons, the scorners, the fools in verse 22 are not in awe of God. They're not in awe of the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Or they're not in awe of the fact that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Or in Psalm 19 and verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. They're not in awe of that. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't mean anything to them. There's no respect for the divine, for the reverence of who God is and what he has accomplished. And because there's no awe of the fact that God is creator, and that's the place that we must start, is Genesis 1:1. If there's no awe of the fact that God is the creator, then there's going to be no application of wisdom. There's going to be no desire to understand wisdom and to allow it to come into our heart. Proverbs chapter 8. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. In regards to creation here, and just notice a few verses. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 32. Proverbs 8, 22 through 32. There speaks of the eternal nature of wisdom and our role in creation. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. And that word beginning there is again that Hebrew word, reshith, that is used in 1:7, where the writer says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in 4:7, where he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Now notice how God created and fashioned this world by way of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 32. Our scripture says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he had prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep his ways. And so on and so forth there. But we see the role of wisdom in the creation. The creation is the manifestation of God's wisdom. And it is really the greatest expression of his power and something that we should be in awe of. When we see a mountain or we see the ocean or we see something, we should be in awe of that. That ought to affect us, not to say, well, that's pretty. We ought to look at that and say, that is God. That is God. Sometimes on Wednesday nights when we get home from Bible study, we live out in the country, and we can look up in the sky and we can see, sometimes it'll be a clear night, we can see stars just everywhere. And I'll stop for just a moment. I've tried to do better about this and tell the children, just look up. And then think of the promise that was given to Abraham, that all nations will be blessed through your seed. And just think about the majesty of God and how he brought that to fruition. And just be in awe of the creation and what it teaches us about our God. Now, all that being said, go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Wisdom says that fools hate knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Fools hate knowledge. If fearing the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and one then hates knowledge and is said to despise wisdom and instruction, it's quite obvious that the problem is there is no reverence. We've been blessed with the mind of God written on these pages. These are the inspired words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And this is just, I was trying to make this point the other day when I was having a conversation with someone. This is just a minute, small grain of sand of the vastness of the mind of God. But He's chosen to reveal this to us. And this is a book of wisdom. This is a book that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's going to tell us the path that we need to walk down. It's going to tell us how to make righteous, good, wholesome decisions. However, it doesn't mean anything if we are not awe-stricken and captivated by our Lord. The Son there in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, received wise counsel from the Father. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom will be calling out when temptation comes. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Don't walk down their path. Don't do that. However, those cries would fall on deaf ears. They would fall on deaf ears if the Son did not fear God. The admonition there beginning in verse 23 is to turn or repent as a result of wisdom's rebuke. So what's going to happen when we are willing to heed to wisdom's cries? What's going to happen? Well, if we're heeding to wisdom's cries, we are paying them careful attention. And therefore, that understanding and that instruction that's being given, it's going to come into our heart, and we're going to be able to make a wise decision. We're going to look at this and say, okay, this is not wise for me as a Christian, as a child of God who's trying to walk after Christ. This is not a good decision for me to make. When we're heeding to wisdom, when we're heeding to this knowledge that God is giving us here. And turning as a result of the rebuke is an action that the simpleton, scorner, and fool are called on to make. Now, if they're turning as a result of wisdom's rebuke, it's by necessity that they began to fear God. And again, that is the beginning of knowledge. So these things go hand in hand. The heart, wisdom, reverence for God. All of these things must be active and present in our lives as children of God. And what happens is, when we hear these words of wisdom, don't walk down this path, they're going to be more than empty words. We're not going to be the young person or the old person who hears that and says, I don't want to hear that. Leave me alone. It's none of your business. That means absolutely nothing to me. Julia and I had a conversation over a year ago, and we was talking to some family members about some different movies, and we said, well, does it have a lot of profanity in it? Does it have a lot of cussing in it? Does it say this? And they just made a remark, we don't know. We don't pay no attention to stuff like that. We don't pay any attention to things like that. So those things, just they're not in the thinking. It's not there. But as children of God, things like that ought to be in our thinking. We ought to be, is someone cussing my God? Is someone using my Lord's name in vain, the Lord who created me and gave me the breath and the life that I have? Is someone using His, that ought to bother us. If we're able to sit there through a movie, and we're able to sit there, and we have the ability to get ourselves out of that situation or turn the television off, and we sit there and we listen to that, and we say, well, that just doesn't bother me, and it just kind of brushes over, and we don't even notice it anymore, might be time for a heart checkup. See exactly what's going on in our hearts, because wisdom's crying out to us. It's saying, Jay, turn the channel. If I'm not turning the channel, then I'm not heeding to that instruction. It's not making a difference in my life. So we need to learn how to make these good decisions. Now, what is wisdom's response here? I want to get a couple points before we run out of time. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all of my counsel, and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. So wisdom here's call is saying, I have called. I have stretched out my hand. I have provided counsel. I have offered rebuke. But here's the response. Here's the response. The response is to the call, denial. We're denying the call. To the outstretched hand, disregard. We have no time for that. We have no use for it. To the counsel, disdain. We don't want to hear any of that. To the rebuke, utter rejection. This is what's going on here. So what is wisdom's only choice? What is wisdom's only choice in regards to those who reject her? Maybe a better way of saying that is, what is the only recourse that she has? Or what is the only choice here that she has? Well, the only choice she has is counter-rejection. The only choice she has is counter-rejection. Wisdom is something that requires an action on behalf of the individual. If the individual refuses to accept the call, the outstretched hand, the counsel, the rebuke, then wisdom has no other recourse other than to reject the individual, because she's not there to help that individual. Therefore, when calamity comes, wisdom says, I will laugh, I will mock. And when terror comes like a storm, destruction comes like a whirlwind, I will mock when distress and anguish come upon you. So this is the only response that wisdom can make. And someone may look at this and say, well, that's cruel, that's heartless. But when we take into account what we talked about this morning, and we have rejected wisdom, and we have thrown her to the side, then we close the door of our heart to her, then she's not there to help us. It's not wisdom. It's not wisdom that's just going to come into our hearts. It's not just going to rain down on us and we find ourselves in some calamity or bad situation. All of a sudden, we're going to know how to deal with that. That's not the way it works. We must open up our heart and allow wisdom to come into our heart. You remember what the Father said earlier? Do not forsake, embrace, exalt. The Father's saying, put her in your heart. Now, if she's in our heart, when these calamities, when these things come, then we're going to have the ability to make good, righteous decisions. But if we reject her, then she can't be there. It's not possible for us to know what the answer is to some tough question that we have in our lives when we're shaken to our core and our hearts. It's not possible for us to have any comfort from God's Word when we haven't bothered to pick it up and read it and allow that wisdom to come into our heart. The same thing happens sometimes we say with God, something bad happens in our life. We say, well, where's God at in all of this? And many times those are the same people who have shut the door of their heart to God. And the only reason that we are reaching out to God at that point is because there's calamity in our life. There's tragedy in their life. There's something horrific. And should we reach out to God? Yes. But we can't expect to just have everything just fall into place and us have the wisdom to handle that situation, to have the hope that a Christian would have who is familiar with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means. We can't expect to have that. The very simple point is we need to open the doors of our heart and allow wisdom to come in. And allow wisdom to influence us and to help lead us down the right path. And it's what she says here. In verses 29 and 30, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And this is why she is absent. She says, no, you would not learn and you refused to respect the Lord. You rejected my advice and paid no attention when I warned you. The ERV says they hated knowledge. They refused to fear and respect the Lord. They ignored my advice and refused to be corrected. So again, the connection of fear of the Lord and knowledge cannot be separated. Wisdom isn't something you just go out and get. It's not something you just gain. It just shows up and you're able to deal with that problem. Wisdom is something that's acquired. We need to treasure her and seek her and allow her to influence our lives and be in our heart. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth, the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. So this is what the Lord gives. This is what's available. This is what He's offering us. The Lord gives wisdom. He stores up wisdom, sound wisdom. He's a shield. He guards the paths of justice, preserves the way for these people, the upright, those who walk uprightly, His saints. Who are the upright? Who are those who are considered to be His saints? Well, it's those who understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Again, reverence and knowledge and wisdom are connected. Who is it that's going to understand the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Notice the personal responsibility of that. Receive, treasure, incline, apply, cry out, lift up, seek, search. It's not something that's just going to fall on us. It's not God's fault if we don't have it. We have a responsibility. We need to allow it to come in. We need to treasure it. We need to apply it. We need to cry out for it. We need to lift it up. We need to seek it out. We need to search for it in our lives. And when that's the case, then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Why? Again, verses 6 through 8, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice, preserves the way of the righteous. So this is what God's willing to do for us. This is what He offers us, but there's a choice. There's a choice that we have. We have the ability to accept wisdom, or we have the ability to reject it. And that accessibility of her is there if we will just reach out and we will grab it. But when we don't, we're going to reap what we sow. To those who refuse, therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Whatever it is that we sow in this life, that's what we're going to reap. So if we've sown slothfulness and laziness, what we're going to talk about in a few moments, procrastination, negligence, in regards to gaining godly wisdom, if that's what we've sown, then that's what we're going to reap. That's what's going to be in our lives. And when these things come at us, we're not going to know how to handle them because we haven't sown righteousness and wisdom in our heart. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. God's Word translation reads this way: gullible people kill themselves because of their turning away, and fools destroy themselves because of their indifference. And that's so true. I love Proverbs, just how simple it is and how it just gives us good practical things. If we'll just follow, we can be pleasing unto God. And this is the result of rejecting godly wisdom. This is it. However, the individual who accepts the call of wisdom shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear and evil. So each individual decides. It's a personal responsibility that requires desire, it requires effort, it requires a want to on our behalf. So we will end this verse in our Bible class this morning. We end at 10:30, right? 10:35? Okay. Well, we're going to end a little bit early. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So this is what we need to do. So as we go throughout our week, as we talk about some of the topics we're going to talk about, some of them are going to be difficult to talk about. Some of them are going to be kind of what we would say hot topics in our society right now. But as we think about it, if you can, think about what we've talked about in the Bible class this morning. As we talk about these things throughout the week, and make application. Think about wisdom. Is this a wise decision for us to make? What is wisdom crying out to me about procrastination? What is wisdom crying out to me about atheism? What is wisdom crying out to me about social drinking? What is wisdom crying out to me about authority? And make application. What is the call of wisdom in regards to these things and every other decision that we're going to make in our Christian lives? What is wisdom saying? What is it trying to relay to me? Let's trust in the Lord. Let's make good, righteous decisions using the wisdom of God. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it.